We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V.E. Howard.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. We welcome you to our program today. It is indeed an honor to have you in our great international radio audience, and ours is a religious broadcast. We make no apology for that. We are not ashamed to let you know that we believe the Bible to be the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of the living God. We believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of the living God. We believe the gospel of Christ is truly God's power to save. We believe that He established one church, His church, and one church only. We believe that it is imperative that we learn the nature of the Lord's church and that we become members of His body. It is true that the church is not the Savior, but it is the saved, as declared by the Apostle in Ephesians 5:23. Christ is the Savior, but He saves His church, which is His body, the Apostle Paul declared. To be in Christ is to be in His body. To be in His body is to be in Christ. And to be in Christ is to be a new creature. And that is the subject for our discussion today. A new creature in Christ. We read from 2 Corinthians 5:17-21, when the Apostle Paul declared, "Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. But all things are of God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ, and gave unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not reckoning unto them their trespasses, and having committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We are ambassadors, therefore, on behalf of Christ, as though God were entreating by us. We beseech you on behalf of Christ, be ye reconciled unto God. Him who knew no sin, He made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." In these marvelous verses, Paul talks about the blessings of being in Christ. In Christ, one is a new creature. In Him, we have reconciliation. In Him, we become the righteousness of God, he said. But the concept that we wish to study at this time is that of being new creatures in Christ. We all like to talk about new things. That is not peculiar to our own generation, however. Paul found this condition very much in existence when he visited Athens of Greece in the middle of the first century. We read in Acts 17:19-21, "And they took hold of him and brought him unto the Areopagus, saying, May we know what this new teaching is, which is spoken by thee? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. Now all the Athenians and the strangers sojourning there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or hear some new thing." An interest in the new is about as old as the race of humanity. We like to possess new things. We like to talk about new things. What's new is a frequently asked question of our day. The news on both radio and television is very popular with many people, and it frequently is composed of what is new today. People are interested in a new house, a new car, a new baby born to one of our friends or to the family, a new dress or a new suit. Let me tell you about our new grandbaby. Has opened many conversations, hasn't it? From one standpoint, we live in a world that is somewhat old. Yet we live in a world that could be new. But you ask how? It could be a world populated with new creatures in Christ Jesus. Christianity is a new religion. It is spoken of as being the new way, a living way, Paul declared in Hebrews 10:20. The new way is entered by the new birth, as the Lord explained in John 3:3-5. Those who enter it are spoken of as new babes, newborn babes, 1 Peter 2:2. Citizens of the heavenly kingdom are on their way to the new Jerusalem on high. We are told that everything in heaven will be new. In 2 Peter 3:13, the apostle refers to the realm of the redeemed as being new heavens and a new earth. He affirmed that righteousness will abide there. John the prophet of Patmos prefaced the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation with these inspired words, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth are passed away, and the sea is no more." Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Later, he quoted a statement from the one on the throne, the Lord, as it said, "Behold, I make all things new." The word new, therefore, has a very significant relationship to Christianity. 2 Corinthians 5:17, the basis for our scripture study at this time, is composed of some very expressive words. You know, there's the little word if, but what a word. "Wherefore, if any man," the Bible says, if is a little word, yet from another viewpoint, it's a big word, a mighty word, a powerful word. Much depends upon it. Many people are saying, in essence, if I can believe what I want to believe, if I can practice what I want to practice, if I may associate with those whom I desire to associate and still be a new creature, then I'm willing to accept Christianity on that basis. But this if doesn't work that way, beloved. The if we are concerned about has reference to one who is in Christ. That relationship is attained only one way. Now notice another expression. The "any man" of this passage is a very significant expression. It is a generic term. It refers to any person who is accountable unto God. This person may come into Christ by obedience to the gospel of Christ. The "any man" refers to the universal scope of the gospel. The gospel of Christ is for the entire world. Remember, John the Baptist declared in John 1:29, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." In Luke 24:47, Jesus said that repentance and remission of sins shall be preached in His name among all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Jesus commanded in Mark 16:15 that the gospel is to be preached to the whole creation. In Matthew 28:18-19, Jesus charged the disciples to teach all nations. Peter declared in Acts 10:34-35, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable to him." John 3:16, the golden text of the Bible, says, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life." Whosoever means you. It means me. It means everyone who will obey the will of God. What significant terms! Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new." He is a new creature, the apostle declared. He is a new creature in Christ. And we are considering some significant terms found in this divine expression by the apostle. The expression "be in Christ" of this passage is composed of two-letter words and the all-important redemptive word "Christ." But how weighty is this expression "in Christ"? How wonderful indeed! Beloved, are you listening? It is a wonder to me that anyone would pass up such an opportunity. To be in Christ is the same as to be in His church. The saints and faithful brethren at Colossae are spoken of in Colossians 1:2 as being in Christ. Yet in Colossians 1:18, it is said that they were members of His body, which is His church. Paul told them in Colossians 3:15 that they were called into one body, or called in one body. The body, he said in verse 18 of the first chapter, is the church. Hence, to be in Christ is to be in His body. To be in His body is to be in His church. The Bible, our supreme court and religion, makes this firm affirmation. You believe what the Bible says, don't you? The expression he is a new creature of this passage is composed of simple terms. It refers to a certain one who is a new creature. Who is he that is the new creature? It is not just any he, is it? The person who is in Christ is the person who is the new creature. Every person who has obeyed the gospel is a new creature. He is a Christian. The Christian is a new creature. The new creature is a Christian. I wondered if Christians do not at times take too lightly this great and grand privilege of being in Christ and thus being new creatures. What a great and glorious privilege it is to be a new creature in Christ. The person in Christ is a new creature because he's been born anew, born again. He is a newborn. He is a newborn creature, a creature born again. The Scriptures teach, and teach clearly, that we become new creatures in Christ by experiencing the new birth, a birth from above, a birth of water and of the Spirit. Today we hear people speak of born-again Christians, but my friends, and I say, are you listening? May I tell you that to be born again is to be a Christian. To be a Christian is to have been born again. The born-again Christian is not some special kind of a Christian. One who is not a Christian is not born again. And one isn't a Christian unless he has been born again. The one who is not born again is not a Christian. The born-again Christian is a new creature in Christ. The inspired Apostle James declared, "Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." James 1, verse 18. It is this birth that permits one to become children of God, the first fruits of his creatures. And may I ask, are you a child of God? If you are, do you really treasure the great blessings that are yours as a new creature in Christ? If you are not a child of God, then you are not in position to say, as did the apostle of old, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, and such we are." 1 John 3, verse 1. Children of God have a holy heritage, a treasured legacy. It was said of the late C.R. Nickel, a gospel preacher whom I highly respected, as did everyone who knew him, that he walked about as a happy man, a blessed man, a proud man. Someone approached him one day and said, "Preacher, you look as though you own the world today." To this he replied with zeal, "Sir, my Father does own the world." He was happy to be a child of the King. Paul declared that when one is in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, there are some inevitable conclusions we must observe from this divine statement from the inspired apostle. Let us look at the statement again for a few moments. He said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Now, number one, to be in Christ is to be a new creature. Therefore, those who are not in Christ cannot be the new creature about whom the apostle speaks in this text. Two, to be a new creature is to be in Christ. Therefore, those who are not new creatures cannot be in Christ. Three, to be a new creature, old things are passed away. Therefore, if one did not repent of his sins and obtain forgiveness of his sins, in that old things are passed away, he is not a new creature. Four, to be a new creature in Christ with all things having passed away, then all things have become new. Therefore, if all things have not become new, one is not in Christ and the old things are not passed away. 5. In Romans 6:3-4, the inspired apostle declared, "We are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we might also walk in newness of life." One is buried with Christ by baptism into death, and is raised to walk in newness of life, the apostle said. If not buried by baptism into death, then one cannot be raised to walk in newness of life. If one has not been raised to walk in newness of life, he has not been buried with Christ by baptism into death. Newness of life is experienced by one who is in Christ. As a believer in Christ, one must repent of his sins, turn away from the old things of life, and be baptized into Christ, where all things become new. He is a new creature. Paul made this clear in Romans 6:3-4 and Galatians 3:26-27. The new creature is to walk in newness of life all the days of his life as a Christian, in order to make heaven his home. The Apostle Paul, who obviously was a new creature in Christ, warned, "Wherefore let him that thinketh that he stand take heed lest he fall." 1 Corinthians 10:12. The Apostle Peter, another new creature in Christ, admonished early Christians to give all diligence in living the Christian life, maintaining those necessary Christian graces. He concluded, "For if you do these things, ye shall never fall." But he also warned, "He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." How important it is, therefore, that a new creature continue to walk in the newness of life.